Morning, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Wild Card Wednesday. If you want to get your requests in, you need to do that. Wild Card Wednesday. And it's any car, any song, any artist. You pick them and text them in right now, 312-981-7200. Wild Card Wednesday on WGN. All right. Okay. Well, let's say hello to my first guest this morning. And see, when I think birthday parties, which is kind of what we're having here today, because it's my birthday, and when I think birthday parties, I immediately think of this gentleman, because he has a movie with that in the title. It's Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party. Stephen is a great friend of the show, a really incredible guy, one of my favorite actors on the planet. He's been on the show so many times and has appeared in well over 200 movies and TV shows. The guy is constantly working. According to USA Today, they listed Stephen as the 9th most frequently seen actor in movies. 9th. Stephen works a lot, and he's on the show a lot, and I thought, you know, it's my birthday, so I'd love to have one of my favorite guests ever come back on the show. And I want to welcome Stephen Tobolowsky to the show. Stephen, how are you?
I am fine, Nick. Happy birthday.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Oh, sure.
You know, whenever we have like a special show or something like that, I always want to bring back some of my favorite guests, and you are always number one on that list, Stephen.
Oh, thank you so much, Nick. Thank you. Oh, gosh. Did you have I was laughing at some of your Facebook posts because last night it was like Beirut here in Los Angeles.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
It was nuts. In my neighborhood, it started, it went for a solid 3.5 hours or so with just thinking that everything was blowing up. And, you know, I don't know. Do you have pets, Stephen?
We have 3 cats.
Okay. Did they freak out?
They, one of them is such a kind of whore for food. She did not freak out. the other two absolutely went insane.
I always feel bad for. I always feel bad for animals during the 4th of July, things like that. I mean, it's just, you know, because it's just terrifying for them.
Yeah, they must think it's like the apocalypse. If an animal even knows what the apocalypse is,
yeah.
You know, I always wonder what they think it is.
Yeah.
You know,
in their minds. Now, I mentioned Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party. That's the first time you were ever on the show. You came in studio and we talked about it. It was great having you on. Let's go back and talk about that. And it's still available. It's still out there, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
So tell everybody about it.
Well, I guess it began years ago. I always. Friends, I would tell stories, true stories, kind of about my life after a couple of beers standing in the kitchen years and years and years ago. And a friend of mine, who is a cinematographer, Rob Brinkman, he said, you know, sometime we ought to do a film just with you talking to the camera, telling your stories. And I thought, well, that kind of sounds a little like paint drying, but an amazing thing happened in film, and that was the advent of HD, which I think we've talked about some on your show. Mm-hmm. And what it did was it put like a nuclear weapon in the hands of the common man, in that an ordinary person could make a movie on their own, because what would have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars of film and developing with HD, now we could make the entire movie for $20,000 or $30,000. So back in 2005, I think it was. Boy, Nick, it was a long time ago. About 2005, over a period of 3 days, I told my stories, and the conceit of the film, Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party, is that it goes from dawn to midnight on my birthday, where I'm telling stories of my life, of various productions and odd things that happened to me along the way, to the camera. And then we took about 4 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. The movie's about 4 hours and 40 minutes long. And Robert cut down to like 88 minutes. And it was wonderful. I saw it. It was beautiful. And we played at South by Southwest and a lot of big film festivals. And then it kind of went, I think now it's It's certainly on, what, Amazon and Hulu. It went on to various venues, but you could still buy the film.
Right.
And certainly you can buy it through my website. But it was a wonderful movie that kind of launched me writing stories and writing books and all sorts of things. It just kind of changed my life at that period of time telling those stories.
You know, it really did. It really marked a change in your career. I mean, obviously you continued acting and things like that, but the storytelling thing became one of the major things that you're known for and should be known for, because you're a magnificent storyteller, Stephen.
Like if that was 2005, I think the next big change was 2008 when I broke my neck.
Right.
Right. That was the next big change, because I couldn't do anything. If you survive having your neck broken, you recognize there aren't a lot of things you can do while you heal. And one of the things I could do was write stories down. And I thought, well, let me write down the stories. The doctor told me, which I've told your audience before, that I had a fatal injury. My neck break was fatal, even though I was still alive. And I thought, well, what if what the doctor said was true? And I thought, let me start writing down the stories I want my children to have known about me if I died on that mountain where I broke my neck. And so I started writing these stories down, including some of the stories in Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party. And that, at that moment, as if in a perfect storm, David Chen, who was a student at Harvard University, called me at home after having talked to Robert Brinkman, after being a fan of Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party. And he said, would you like to continue telling stories, but in a podcast? And that became the Tobolowsky Files, which became the book Dangerous Animals Club, which you were about the first person to read, Nick.
Yeah, I was thrilled.
You were the first person to read that book. And now my second book, which I just found out Simon & Schuster is going to publish over Easter and Passover of this coming year.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
That was something.
Yeah, and the podcasts, how often do you do the podcast, the Tobolowsky Files?
Well, we began by doing it every week. And then when David started working after he graduated, and then I worked more, it became like once a month. And now the last one we did was almost a year ago in August. But what I'm doing is I've written more, and we're going to release an entire new series of podcasts kind of all at once, because I'm in this kind of very involved job now, so I don't have a ton of time. And neither does David. He has a new job. So we're going to hopefully kind of probably by this summer, we'll probably have about 10 new podcasts. We'll release them a la Netflix, to where people can jones on if they want.
Right.
And just watch them all, listen to them all the way through.
That's great.
And it's been an avenue that I never thought, Nick, when you tell a story, this is what I always thought telling a story was entertainment sometimes. But when you tell a story, not only does the story change, and I don't mean in terms of facts, but the way you relate to it, but the way people relate to you change from the story. I recognize this from some of the stories I told about bad things that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And by telling the story, it mollifies it in a way, and it becomes something that's more usable and not just a big old hole of hate or hole of pain or something in your life. It becomes something that really is kind of wonderful. So the telling of stories has become, well, I guess it was the subject of the second movie that Dave Chen and I did, Primary Instinct,
right,
which is really about telling stories. And those stories completely changed me and changed my attitude toward the people I know in my life.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Stephen, we got to take a break. I really appreciate you hanging out with us, okay?
Yep.
And when we come back, we got to talk about Silicon Valley.
Okay.
we have to. Okay, hang on a second, all right? All right, yep. The great Stephen Tobolowsky is here. You know, it's my birthday, and I wanted to bring in one of my favorite guests. This guy is my favorite guest. Let's just get right down to it. And, you know, one of the greatest people in the world, one of the greatest actors. He's been in a ton of stuff. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about his latest work on the show Silicon Valley. That's all going to be coming up right here. We got a break for the news here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on a Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday, everybody. Yeah. Get your requests in for Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. 312-981-7200 and for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. And also, you can check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show and our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Also on Facebook is my great guest, Stephen Tobolowsky, one of the most popular and greatest character actors of all time. Great storyteller and a terrific writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Tobolowsky. And we're just having Stephen on. Because it's my birthday and I wanted to have somebody I really, really love on the show. And welcome back, Stephen.
Good to be back.
All right. I have to tell you, Silicon Valley. I love that show, and I was so thrilled that you joined the cast, that you came on for season three.
When last we spoke, at what point were we at in Silicon Valley? Had I started the show yet?
Oh, I don't think so. No, no.
So I got the audition for Silicon Valley like a year ago, like in the middle of the summer. And I had the name of my character is Jack Barker.
Yeah.
And I'm the new head of Pied Piper. And if the people don't know the basics of Silicon Valley, it is a phenomenal show.
It is.
And the way I describe it is about a young technical computer tech engineer played by Thomas Middleditch. Richard Hendricks is the character's name,
right,
who basically, the way I describe it, he discovers fire. He discovers computer algorithm that changes the way computers would work forever, would change the entire world. And this, the story of Silicon Valley is about every criminal in the Silicon Valley, every sycophant, everybody either wants to touch the fire, steal the fire, possess the fire in some way. They want to get close to what Richard, the genius that Richard has discovered. And the story of Silicon Valley is Richard's human evolution. Because of this invention, it is hilarious. It is outrageous. It is profound in some ways and certainly profane in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I played the new boss, Richard's new boss, and we're not really sure if I'm a guy who's going to support him or not support him. So I went in a year ago to audition. And I thought the audition went pretty well, and then I heard nothing. Figure it was near the end of June or July.
No, but Stephen, did you audition for Mike Judge?
No. I auditioned for a casting director.
Okay.
And I thought it went well, and I remember I left, and I called my agent and manager. I said, I think it went really well. Heard nothing. Zero. Nothing. October 5th, I remember, because they were screening Primary Instinct at a documentary film festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I get a phone call from my agent and manager. Now, this is October, so we've gone through the summer, and they're both on the line, agent and manager, which is very rare, and they said, Stephen, we think Silicon Valley may be coming back. They want you to audition again. Now, at this point in time, I had forgotten it. I just figured I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I flew back to Los Angeles. They sent me new material to learn, and I had to audition like in a day.
Wow.
I had like a day to prepare. And this time, I auditioned for Mike Judge.
Ah, okay.
And I auditioned for Alec Berg, and
yeah.
I auditioned for all the executive producers. There are five guys and me in this little room, and we auditioned for an hour, and it was fantastic.
Mm.
And Mike was giving me direction. We'll try it this way, and I'll try it this way, and this way. We went inside out and upside down, and I left. And on my way home, I heard my manager called me up and said, you got the job.
Oh, man, on the way home. Wow.
On the way home, and I'm driving off the road because I began not knowing anything about this show.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did my due diligence and went on to HBO Go and watched the first two seasons, and I became a huge fan.
Yeah.
And it is one thing to be a fan and enjoy a show, but it's another thing to be a fan and now be a part of that show. It is both thrilling and terrifying because you don't want to be the guy who screws up a great show.
Right.
And I, at this point in time, I was already busy doing a couple other jobs, but Mike Judge said not to worry, that they would just work my scenes in around to wherever it was when I was back in town. So when I got back in town, I shot the first four episodes of Silicon Valley, only my scenes,
mm-hmm.
all day long. So all I knew were my scenes. And for those 10 days that I shot those four episodes, I felt like David Duchovny. It was the only time in my life where it was like, Stephen Tobolowsky is in every scene, all the time, everywhere, including the infamous horse scene.
Yes.
I don't know how much of a spoiler to give the people.
I mean, it's aired. It aired a couple of months ago, and
yes.
Obviously. But this involves Richard coming to you upset about a decision that you made, and he is told where you are. And you have a stallion, a horse,
yeah.
who you need the semen from this horse, and that's happening in front of you as as Richard wants to have this meeting, and it's a pretty hysterical scene.
It's a pretty hysterical scene, and people have asked me. I mean, the one question they always ask were you really there
right.
when horses were doing it? And I said, it is far more amazing than that. The short answer is, well, not really.
Mm-hmm.
But the long answer is, Nick, that scene took 8 months to film.
What?
And 8 months. And this is the story behind the horse scene for the fans out there of the show.
All right.
So Alec Berg and Mike Judge decided they wanted my character, Jack Barker, to have kind of a rich man, snooty hobbit. So they thought it would be sailing a boat or something. But then they thought horse breeding may be funny because they could actually have horses having sex in the background of a scene. So he thought this would be really funny. Well, the problem is a lot of ranchers don't let their horses have sex anymore for real because of injury.
Mm.
They usually just do artificial insemination. So they put out feelers, so to speak, to the various ranchers in the Southern California area and found a rancher with a stallion and a rancher with a mare that were actually going to mate their horses that year when the mare went into heat.
Mm.
And so Mike asked, can we film this? Both ranchers gave their consent. Then they had to go to the ASPCA, the Animal Protection,
right.
had to call the city of Los Angeles. All sorts of people had to be informed this was going to happen. It could only happen when the mare went into heat. So, and this happens who knows when.
Oh, boy.
So Mike and the camera crew went to the stall where this horse sex was going to happen. And they set up cameras in the empty area, the empty stall area, and marked what the shots were going to be, established the shots from various angles, and then Mike got a film crew and put them on 20, like police department, like 24-hour emergency hotline, that when the mare went into heat, that everything was rehearsed, and this camera crew would go out and shoot the animals having sex, which they did. Then when Thomas and I went in to do our scene,
yeah.
they had a giant green screen with an X as to where the horse head was and where the other horse's head was. And then they had the actual film that they had shot, and we were able to see what the film was. But when Thomas and I shot the scene, we just acted in the stall, in front of the stall,
right,
in front of the green screen, based on the camera positions that they had set up months before when they shot
wow.
horses.
Wow.
And then they duplicated the camera shots and digitally dropped the horses in.
Look at that.
And that is film magic.
Absolutely. And it turns out to be hilarious. They did a beautiful job with it. Nice special effects on that. Very funny.
Oh, amazing.
I thought Thomas's reactions were priceless. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Hilarious.
Another scene I wanted to talk to you about specifically is the scene that now online has been posted some time ago, a full 5-minute outtake. When you first meet T.J. Miller's character, who
yes.
is so funny on that show, so funny. He is like, he's very, because you're the new CEO of the company and he thinks you're old and wants to take you down a couple of pegs. So in the episode, the actual cut of the episode, he comes in, throws a few old man zingers at you. But
yes.
but there's an extended nonstop 5-minute outtake of him just repeatedly going zinger after zinger after old guy zinger. Tell me about that. And we're going to, by the way, later in the show, after we say goodbye to you, we're going to play the whole thing.
Hilarious.
Because it's so funny. But tell me about that. Now, how did that work out?
This was my first day of shooting on Silicon Valley.
Oh, my
God. I was nervous. I had no idea what they were going to do. I knew from the script there were like 3 or 4 insults
right.
that TJ was going to hurl at me, you know, where I say to him something like, I'm a big fan of yours. And he goes, of what? Of Metamucil? Of you know, a few old man jokes of playing Parcheesi?
Yeah.
Of
coal, because you are a fossil.
Yeah, of coal. And so I had no idea what I was walking into. So I walked in, and TJ started this thing where he went on for 5 minutes.
Ugh.
And of course, at first I was going like, well, what's going on here in my head?
Right.
So I'm trying to be kind of stoic and listening to these insults, but the insults keep coming. They did not stop. And then I am cracking up, and they're shooting over my shoulder.
Right.
And I am cracking. I'm trying not to laugh, and it becomes impossible. After about 3 minutes, it becomes impossible that these insults keep coming. So we shot probably 5 takes over my shoulder of TJ doing, and each one of those takes was about 5 minutes of horrific insults as I just stood there. And I went to talk to Mike afterwards, Mike Judge, and saying, I am so sorry that I was laughing. You know, I was trying to keep at least my shoulders still so it wouldn't ruin it. But and Mike says, don't worry about it. And here's some film magic for you people out there
okay.
who want to know the kind of the details of it. Now, by shooting in HD, which all these TV shows do, they shoot in 4K, which is, you know, as you know, is remarkable, I guess, resolution. But what they broadcast in, the broadcast resolution is generally 2K,
mm-hmm.
which gives them a lot of digital power to change the camera shot in post. So they were able to take any shots they wanted of TJ over my shoulder and turn it into a close-up of TJ because they had that extra digital width to actually change the shot in post
yeah.
so they can see me laughing. So that was my first day.
That's amazing.
And it was too much.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to, like I said, later in the show, I'm going to play the whole 5 minutes because it is
fabulous.
Absolutely hilarious. Okay, Stephen, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we got to take a quick break. The great Stephen Tobolowsky is here. Follow him on Twitter, at Tobolowsky. We have a link on our Facebook page to his website where you can get his movies and his books. He is phenomenal. And his podcast, one of my favorite guests ever. So you can check it out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. More with Stephen Tobolowsky coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday coming up. We're going to talk about classic Chicago TV commercials as well. And it's my birthday. We'll do a little birthday celebrations as well and talk about some people who were also that I share a birthday with on July 6th. There's a lot of interesting people, and we'll talk about that coming up. And Stephen Tobolowsky is kicking off the whole birthday celebration here as my first guest, and he's the best, and we welcome Stephen back. Stephen, welcome back.
Oh, good to be back.
All right. I do want to mention we're going back to Silicon Valley again.
Yeah.
I love the whole idea that you guys premiered one scene for the, because the show started in April. It came back in April, and HBO and the producers and everybody, they rented out a theater, and instead of showing like, you know, a full episode or the premiere of the episode, they showed one scene 308. And then they had a trailer for it beforehand with lots of explosions and stuff. And you guys had a red carpet. Tell me about that experience and how crazy that was. And you were in the scene. You were one of the, it was just you and TJ in the scene, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That was TJ Miller's idea.
Oh, it was?
So TJ and I, we shoot this scene, in episode 3 where I yell at him and, where I give some back to him. It's a short scene. The scene's like a minute long. And TJ, at the end of the scene, was saying, you know what would be really funny? If instead of doing a big premiere like HBO at the Chinese Theater like we've done every year, if instead we just rent out a theater and only do this scene, like this one-minute scene.
Yeah.
And don't tell anybody that this is just – and Mike Judge listened to this. And this is probably what makes Mike is, well, that sounds like a very good idea.
That, by the way, that's an outstanding Mike Judge that you do.
Thank you. And so, you know, and TJ and I, we figured it would just go the way of the dust of so many ideas and, you know.
Yeah.
But TJ went on that he was friends with one of the people who owns a theater in Hollywood, the Silent Movie Theater House. They rented out the theater. TJ got the big Kliegel lights up and down the street doing the, you know, hello, hello.
Right.
Threw out the red carpet. They had all the press people come. At first, they screened a premiere of the becoming attractions of scene 309. so the actual coming, you know, the preview of coming attraction of scene 309 was actually longer than scene 309.
Right.
So first they did the preview of 309. Then they showed scene 309. Then they had a question and answer session on stage with all the guys and TJ and me and Mike Judge. And the question and answer of scene 309.
Yeah.
Then they showed a preview of scene 310. And then at the end of the evening, they showed scene 310, yeah, which was about 10 seconds long. And as I sat there in the audience, you know, at first we're thinking like, oh, I forgot one of the funniest parts is before we did anything, before we screened anything, we got up and made speeches. TJ made a speech about his life in theater and his life leading to this moment. Mike got up and made a speech. Alec Berg got up and made a speech. I got up and made a speech. So we all got up and made these thank you very much for making this such a special evening kind of speech. And the press was there, and they had no idea that they were going to see 1 minute film.
So great. That it is was, so great.
Afterwards, we went out and partied.
Yeah.
You know, we and I just thought it was brilliant as a publicity thing. No one would have the cojones to do anything that absurd.
Yeah.
But as the evening went on, it became so hysterical to me.
Yeah.
Well, it was beautiful.
What I thought was hilarious about it was how much coverage you guys got. Because there was press everywhere, and I thought it was, and you know what was really funny about it was the press. There were some press that didn't get it, and then some press that did, and that was what there was a really fun balance between, you know, what you guys actually got out of that.
Oh, and I do believe, at least to a certain point, there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Oh, absolutely not.
It is true, as long as it gets the name out there.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen, hang on for 1 second, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break again. We got a break for the news, and then we'll come back and we'll talk just for a little bit more with Stephen Tobolowsky. We'll take a break here, and it's 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. It is Wild Card Wednesday, man. So, get your requests in, whatever song you want, whatever artist. It's Wild Card Wednesday. It's also my birthday, so we're going to be doing a little birthday celebration stuff and talking about who else was born on this date in July 6th and more. But right now we're talking with bringing back our friend Stephen Tobolowsky, who is just a terrific actor. You guys remember him from Groundhog Day, Memento, Sneakers, and Freaky Friday. He was on Deadwood. He was in Seinfeld, Glee, Californication, The Goldbergs, and just, you know, and as well as what we've been talking about, Silicon Valley. And we welcome Stephen back to the show. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, I just wanted to, first of all, once again, thank you for Skyping with us after my screening of Groundhog Day this past February.
That was great.
It was so much fun. And, you know, I have my next one, by the way, Stephen, is Airplane. I'm going to be doing Airplane next Tuesday. And it's such a funny movie. So we're doing that, but it's so much fun, and we get more and more people coming every month. And we, you know, our last one actually sold out. It was our first sellout. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it sold out. And
fabulous!
You know, it's so much fun. But you Skyping with us after that was just so fun, and the fact that you stayed longer than I even had expected you to do. I thought we could get 15, 20 minutes out of you, and you were there for almost an hour, answering everybody's questions and telling great stories. And let me just tell you, everybody in that theater had a great time that night, and everybody wanted me to say thank you for being so kind to be with us at that screening. It was great.
Oh, my pleasure. It was. I don't think I'd ever taken part in anything like that before, where I could actually see the people in the movie theater, and even though they were kind of in the dark, I could see them in my little office here. It was kind of the magic of technology, so it was wonderful to talk to the people one-on-one and answer questions about Groundhog.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun, and I just wanted to say thanks, and thanks from everybody at the theater and everybody who works on my film club events. It was great.
Oh, terrific.
Let's talk a little bit about the Goldbergs. You just rapped on the Goldbergs recently?
Well, we're about to start again.
Oh.
We are about to start again. We rapped. Right now, I'm working on Drumroll, and that is Norman Lear's new TV show.
Whoa!
One Day at a Time, a remake of One Day at a Time. And, Nick, it is fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Norman Lear is 93.
I was just going to say, he's got to be in his 90s, yeah.
He's brilliant. Brilliant, and he's so funny, and he's so articulate, and he gives such great notes. We have a wonderful cast, and today I am doing a love scene, and we shoot tomorrow with Rita Moreno.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's outstanding.
Oh, my God. And anyway, so this is how it weaves into the Goldbergs, that we are shooting right next door to the Goldbergs.
Okay.
And Goldberg starts up again August 1st, and they've asked me at this point to be in 5 of the first 6 shows.
Okay.
So Norman's show, also shooting at Sony, the head of Sony was sitting next to me while we were shooting a couple weeks ago. And he leans over and says, kind of after my scene, he says, "Don't worry about anything with the Goldbergs, because I run this place, and we're going to make sure you do them."
That's great. Now, let me ask you, Stephen, what are you playing in One Day at a Time? And is it exactly a remake? Is the character name Anne Romano? Is there a Schneider? All that stuff?
There is a Schneider. Mm-hmm. It is instead a Cuban American family.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's a single mother and her two kids, and Justina Macata is the lead. And if you don't know who she is, she is, I call her she's next Kathy Bates.
Oh, wow, okay.
This woman is one of the great actresses I've ever worked with. She is not only hilarious, she could break your heart in a second. She has so much power as an actor. She's fantastic. So she's a single mother with two kids. Rita Moreno plays her mother, and those four are living in an apartment, and Schneider is the kind of landlord of the apartment. And I play a physician, Dr. Berkowitz. Justina's character was in Afghanistan, so she's a soldier and was a nurse in Afghanistan, and she is now my nurse. And so it's kind of the set away from the home is the doctor's office. So we're able to get kind of the outer world in there. So I play her boss, who is, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say, I have been unlucky in love in my life. And I have very positive attitude toward everything in life. But everything in my life has been very grim. Mm. And so when I start telling my stories on the show, it is very sad story indeed. But I always have hope, which is why this week it's kind of interesting that there is a scene in which I actually am falling for one of my heroes of all time, Rita Moreno. Yeah. I cannot believe this. I cannot believe I'm doing a scene. It's going to premiere on Netflix.
Right.
Which means we shoot all 13 of the shows, and then we release them all at once.
Yeah.
So they'll be released in September, and we start shooting the Goldbergs for network television the beginning of August.
Right.
So there's a little overlap there.
Right. Well, you know, that's what's amazing about this Netflix stuff is that I have totally done the binging thing. I have watched entire seasons in 2 days. I will definitely do that for One Day at a Time. There's no question about it. And for people who watch the Goldbergs, you are, of course, the principal.
Yes.
Yeah, and that must be a lot of fun. By the way, Jeff Garland is back home here for the past couple of days.
Oh, no!
Yeah, he's been in town. He was at the Cub game. He sang the seventh inning stretch. He's been doing a lot of publicity. I think he did a couple of stand-up gigs while he was here for the past couple of days. Jeff has been in town.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if you see him, give him a big kiss for me.
Yeah, he's the best. He's great.
But the Goldbergs operates a little bit like Silicon Valley, but in a reduced sense. We always do the scene as written first on the Goldbergs, and then anything can happen.
I see.
After we get it down, Wendy or Jeff, then it starts becoming improvised. And last year we did two scenes that we just pretty much spun out of thin air that just evolved, and they do that on the Goldbergs if, you know, as long as you get the scene as written once.
Yeah.
You got to get that. But it's a wonderful show to work on.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful.
You know, it's a funny show, and there's so many good people on that show. It's such a talented cast. And, you know, Jeff being chief among them, he's one of my favorites. So it's great that there's so much work to be done. I do want to quickly mention, Stephen, I know it's not coming back, but the work that you did on that show, Big Time in Hollywood FLA, I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite things that you've ever done, and that show was spectacularly and wildly funny. And for people who missed it, man, go back and find it. It is so funny.
It means a lot to me. That show was one of the absolute funniest things I was ever involved in my life.
Agree. I totally agree, Stephen.
It was a great artistic venture. The writers and directors of the show were just brilliant, just wonderful. It was out there. And it also just, it underlined the true lesson of Hollywood, that you don't have to be good, and you don't have to be innovative, and you don't have to be brilliant. you know, they'll cut you down anyway.
Right.
And so nothing, you could aim for quality, but that isn't even a guarantee that you will get a second season. But yeah, big time in Hollywood, Florida, if anyone out there, just stream it from Comedy Central, just buy the series Comedy Central. You will laugh till you are sick.
I'm not kidding. And it was like that started the renaissance of Cuba Gooding Jr. because he goes on to knock it out of the park as OJ on the FX series, and I think he's gonna get himself an Emmy for it. But his work as himself on Big Time in Hollywood was unbelievable. And you and Kathy Baker were amazing together on that show. I just love that show, and I know Comedy Central has it available on their website. Go to Comedy Central. It's called Big Time in Hollywood, FLA, and Stephen is great in it, and everybody's great in it. It's so, so funny.
Thank you for that. It is truly one of, certainly the most hilarious thing I've ever been on, and it was one of the greatest experiences of life. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, listen, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining me. You know, it's a special day, and what guest would I like to have on my birthday? And of course, I chose you. I'll always choose you, Stephen. You're the best, man. And everybody can, you know, your podcast will be coming back. Everybody can follow you on your Facebook page and your Twitter page at Tobolowsky. We have links on our Facebook page for everything. Looking forward to the Goldbergs returning in the fall, one day at a time. And I see that, you know, I'm looking at your IMDb page. You got 5 movies coming up. So keeping busy, as always, Stephen.
Yes.
So, all right. Listen, thank you so much for being with us on my birthday, Stephen. I really appreciate it.
My love to you, and much health and happiness through this year.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Stephen Tobolowsky, what can you say? He's the best. The best. God, I love that guy. All right. We'll take a quick break. And all the links to Stephen's information, from his stories to his books, his podcast, to all the movies and TV shows that he does. He's such an amazing guy. All on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. All right. We'll take a break here on 720 WGN.
Come on, boys and girls, sing along, okay?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Wow!
Wild Card Wednesday. 708 area code requested Weird Al's Happy Birthday. In honor of my birthday. I appreciate that, 708 area code on Wild Card Wednesday. Weird Al. Now, you know, you can't sing the traditional happy birthday song because we got to pay $20,000 to the old lady who wrote it. Isn't that the story?
Oh, I thought you could now.
Oh, is it public domain now?
I wasn't sure if it's, they settled it, so eventually will be. I wasn't sure if it's originally in public domain yet.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't want to take any chances.
Yeah, we could do like the rip-off they do at Chi-Chi's or something.
Well, Weird Al just wished me a happy birthday, so that's good. That's great. Weird Al played the Holiday Star. No, it's not called the Holiday Star anymore. Yeah, hey, Nick, welcome to the 80s. Star Plaza in Merrillville, and apparently killed. Killed. All right. During that conversation we had with my friend there, Stephen Tobolowsky, who is like the king. Esmeralda, you know who Stephen Tobolowsky is, obviously.
Yes.
He's been in 8 million movies. Do you watch Silicon Valley?
I don't.
Okay.
I should, though.
It's great. It's great, and Stephen is great on it. Now, this clip that we were talking about during the interview, on his first day of shooting, T.J. Miller, who is hilarious, comes in. The idea is that Stephen Tobolowsky plays the new CEO of this company that these goofballs founded called Pied Piper. And he's an older guy, and they're younger, in their, like, 20s, Silicon Valley guys, startup guys. And T.J. Miller plays one of the guys, and he goes into Tobolowsky's office and immediately starts railing him for being an old dude. Now, in the episode, he throws about three old man jokes at Tobolowsky, three or four. Well, what Tobolowsky didn't know, as we heard, was that when they started the scene, T.J. Miller had about 4.5 minutes worth of old man insults, and he did not stop throwing them at him. And Tobolowsky, as we just heard, said that he had no idea what was happening as T.J. Miller just went nuts. Now, they edited it down to, like, you know, 45 seconds, a minute, minute and a half in the actual episode. But they released the outtake of 4.5 minutes of T.J. Miller coming up with zinger after zinger after zinger, making fun of how old Stephen Tobolowsky's character is. And we've got it. It's hysterical. So this is the outtake thrown at Stephen Tobolowsky without him knowing it, T.J. Miller and Stephen Tobolowsky from Silicon Valley.
Jack Barker, a.k.a. Action Jack.
I'm texting you her number right now.
We meet at last.
Cloudy 7.
Ehrlich Bachman. Mr. Bachman. Pleasure to finally meet. Jack Barker, a.k.a. Action Jack. We meet at last. Ehrlich Bachman. Mr. Bachman. Pleasure to finally meet you. I'm a big fan.
Oh, really? Of what? Metamucil? Polio? The phonograph? Falling and you can't get up? A nice piece of fish? B&O Railroad? Buying stocks in 1928? Talkies? The bee's knees? The gold standard? The silver standard? Roman coinage? The collection and organization of stamps? The UNIVAC 1107? A nice blanket? Being wheeled into a sunny spot? Playing marbles in the schoolyard and jacks in the alley? Craps with your buddies out back, 1920s. Stickball in Brooklyn, 1909. Your mother's fallen ill from cholera. Your father just ain't around. He's drinking and drinking. When he's done doing that, he keeps on drinking. Liking Ike. Bussing. Loose lips and the ships that they sink. Saying daddy's home when you don't have children in the empty nest anymore. Showers that you don't have to step over the tub to get into. Riverboat poker. Father figures of other father figures. A chicken in every pot. He who knows the evil that lurks in the shadows. The shadow knows. Genesis the book or Genesis the band? Because I know it wasn't Sega Genesis. Early onset Alzheimer's that you forget about. Lenses in an hour or less. Insure with an E. Lipitor. Senior citizen discounts at Perkins Family Restaurants. Unlimited breadsticks or similar value deals. Deviled eggs as an entree. The latest joint juice, health serum at your local GNC, if you can find it, depending on your prescription. Free parking. Having an old goat eat your bloomers off the back of your clothesline. Horses and buggies, just buggies, just horses. Whipping a horse in the street. Saddling a camel. Transatlantic ship travel. Tugboats. Coal in general. I mean, I assume it's your favorite fuel. You are a fossil. That one hurts, doesn't it, Mr. Parker? Early D.W. Griffith. Late Mary Pickford. Buster Keaton at his prime. Harold Lloyd, who never had a prime. Early Rock Hudson. Late Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson at his prime. Radio plays starring white people as both black and white people. Segregated water fountains. Socially acceptable racism. The first Negro baseball player. A tacit understanding between a husband and wife that the man will be the breadwinner and the wife will care for the children and not feel pressure to be a careerist. A bullish approach to letting women vote. Child labor laws. Homosexuality being defined as insanity in the DSM-1. Malls that don't have confusing floor plans. Hybrid rascal scooters so that you seem new and cool, but really you're old and you sort of drool. Erectile dysfunction because of corroded penile arteries. King of the Hill. The second run of Beavis and Butthead. Adjustable text size in your mobile phone, or as you call it, your cell phone. Autocorrect. The little paperclip friend that used to permeate our PC Word documents. The Apple Lisa. Steve Jobs once he left Apple. Steve Jobs when he returned to Apple, or Steve Jobs when he died? Or were you too old to remember that at that point? Email updates from your grandnieces, because the emails about them stopped long ago after they got out of college. Tell me, which are you most a fan of? Sensodyne? Being able to take your teeth out at the end of the night? Or having so much in your teeth throughout dinner that finally people tell you and you don't give a hoot because your death is so near?
Unbelievable. So that was thrown at Tobolowsky. Like, he did not know that that 4.5 minute rant was going to happen, and he had to try and keep a straight face while TJ Miller just went. And I love the fact, because, you know, obviously Mike Judge is responsible for this show, Esmeralda, as you know. So I love the fact that he included King of the Hill and the second run of Beavis and Butthead.
I did like that.
Insure with an E. Oh, man, that's funny. And I couldn't believe, you know, when I saw that, I just laughed hysterically, but I had no idea when Steven said that it was, yeah, it was my first day on the set. It was his first day on the set. TJ Miller walks in, unscripted, boom. Oh, it's so funny. Do we have it on our Facebook page? I know it's on mine.
I can link it there.
Yeah, we can throw it on our Facebook page if you would like to see the video of it, because they keep cutting back to Stephen Tobolowsky's face, like while TJ Miller is throwing those things at him, and his reactions are priceless. They're just hysterical. So anyway, that's going to be posted on our Facebook page if you would like to see that. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And if you've not seen Silicon Valley, it just finished its third season. And it's great. It's Mike Judge. Mike Judge is one of the best comedic minds on the planet, and, you know, obviously responsible for Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill and Office Space and Extract, which, of course, nobody ever talks about. I'm the only person that talks about that. And, of course, the terrifying documentary Idiocracy, which is what our country has become. And he continues to do brilliant stuff with Silicon Valley. So, anyway, I wanted to share that. I forget how many of them I laughed at, like how many of them, what my favorite ones were.
I do like the ones, which, the radio ones, only because I'm here when they do the WGN radio
shows with white actors portraying both black and white actors.
Well, I also like, and the shadow, because the shadow knows. I was like, I know what that means.
Early Mary Pickford. Late D.W. Griffith. Harold Lloyd never had a prime. It's ridiculously funny. Okay. We're going to take a break when we come back. Now, Dan, you said you told me that you needed a few minutes to what now? To give me something?
We have some presents for your birthday.
Oh, man, that's not necessary. That's very nice. All right, we'll do that, and then we'll talk some more birthday stuff and who else was born on July 6th. There's some interesting ones, let me tell you that. But we got to go to the news, which is coming up in exactly 9 seconds.